Well, amen. It's good to be here this morning, isn't it? Amen. Amen. If you don't mind, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Lamentations, chapter number 3. Lamentations, chapter number 3. I like it when men and ladies stand for the reading of the Word of God, so if you don't mind, let's stand for the respect and honor out of the Word of God. Lamentations, chapter number 3. And verse number 48. In verse number 48, it says, "Mine eyes runneth down with rivers of waters for the destruction of the daughter of my people. Mine eye trickleth down and ceaseth not without any intermission. The Lord looked down and behold from heaven, my eye affecteth mine heart because of the daughters of my city. Mine eye chased me sore like a bird without cause. They have cut off my life in the dungeon and cast a stone upon me. Waters flowed over mine head. Then said I am cut off. I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon. Thou hast heard my voice. Hide not thine ear at my breathing, at my cry. Thou drewest near in the day that I called upon thee. Thou saidest, Fear not. O Lord, thou hast pleaded my cause of my soul. Thou hast redeemed my life." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, God, I want to thank you for this wonderful privilege to be here this morning. I ask, Lord, that you would just begin to move in our hearts and on our minds. And Father, that the Word of God would begin to prick us, Father, in the areas that are necessary. And Father, that you would begin to do a work in our hearts and lives. Father, that each one of us as we leave here today, Father, might be stronger Christians, Father, carrying a burden, Father, for the lost and dying souls of our communities and in our neighborhoods surrounding us all, Lord. We just ask that you would begin to move in our hearts and lives, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was reading probably about a year ago now, through the book of Lamentations, this passage really began to jump out at me. It was talking about my eye runneth down with rivers of water. And I began to stop and think all of a sudden, you know, what is beginning to happen in our lives when we sit back and we become complacent with the destruction that is going on in our country? When sin begins to run rampant, when we just begin to look on it lightheartedly. I mean, just it seems like no matter where we go, we see sin prevailing all around us. And you know, for some reason, it does not grip hold of us. And as I was reading through Lamentations, I began to really understand why they called Jeremiah the weeping prophet. Because all of a sudden, God began to grip hold of my heart and make me realize, Keith, you have lost your compassion for your community. You have lost your vision for the lost souls around you. And if you do not get hold of that for God, if you do not begin to realize the people that are around us, our communities are going to die and go to hell. Our neighbors, our loved ones, our friends, our family, they will die and go to hell unless we begin to get a burden and compassion for them. You know, For years I thought, the Lord never said I had to have a burden for lost people. I just had to be obedient. And amen, that is the truth. But I began to realize all of a sudden that, yeah, I was concerned about people that were going to hell. I began to realize personally that, you know, there was people that I knew that were on their way to hell. And all of a sudden the Lord began to show me that all of a sudden Jeremiah, he saw his nation, he saw the nation of Israel, how it had been gripped by sin. He had saw how it began to grab hold of them, and it was tearing them down, and he began personally to feel responsible for part of it. And I'm telling you, the Bible says, hey, judgment must begin at the house of God. I forget if it was D.L. Moody or who it was, but said, so goes the homes, so goes the nation. I kind of wanted to modify that a little bit, and I said, as goes the home, so goes the church. And as goes the church, then goes the communities. And as our communities begin to downslide, you can expect our nation to follow suit. And I believe that our nation is just representative of what has begun to happen in the cold complacency we have in our churches and the cold complacency we have in our Christian lives. Why? Because we've lost the fire of God down in our souls. Jeremiah said, hey, he was just wishing that he could throw in his towel. He was wishing that he could quit. But he said God had put a fire down in his soul that he could not quench. And I want you to know today that God has a fire for every Christian to get a hold of. God has a fire he wants to kindle down in our soul. God needs to do a work in our hearts and lives. Amen. And I remember when Abraham was going up to the altar there, that for some reason he carried some firewood with him. Amen. And you want to have a fire? Take some firewood. Amen. I know you was talking, Dr. Scoville, about how cold it used to be up north. Amen. I'm from Florida. I don't know anything about that. Amen. Amen. So I enjoy a cold front every once in a while when it comes through. But, you know, as I moved to North Carolina, I began to understand the importance of having some firewood when winter come around. You know, I grew up in Florida. We never had any power outages. I mean, the only time we had a power outage was in the middle of a hurricane. And you didn't have to worry about anything except sweating to death. So, you know, and now we get up here, and we every so often, about every 2 years or so, we have a power outage. You might be without power for a couple of days, and it just happens to be in the middle of winter. And that's when you really want some firewood. Amen. You want a little bit of fire. And I'm telling you, in the cold complacency of our spirituality and the cold complacency of our religion, hey, if we do not get the fire back, the fire will be going out, just as we've read in the Bible, hey, where the fire, near the lamp of God went out in the temple. Hey, it has gone out, and I believe it is waning in our day and in our age. Why? Because we as Christians have lost our compassion. We have lost our vision for God. He says, hey, is the problem really my eye? Or is the problem my heart? The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. All of a sudden, God began to grip me and say, Keith, your problem is not necessarily your eye. Your problem is your heart. You've got a cold, hard heart. You've gotten this religion all down pat, and you've got everything in line and in order. Hey, the religion will always send people to hell. It is the Lord Jesus Christ that sends people to heaven. It is through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If it is not for His blood, everything that we do is but man's vain attempt to get to God. We need and must have the power and presence of God, not just in our church services, but in our daily lives. Amen. We need it when we get out of bed in the morning. We need it when we go to school. We need it for every job that we have laid before us. We need the power of God for reading the Word of God. Hey, without the power of God, it's all but done in the flesh and in vain. I want you to, this is all introduction, so let's just go on down to the text here. In verse number 51, he said, my eye affecteth mine heart, because all the daughters of my city. I know we just celebrated September 11th, and we all remember so well the tragedy that took place on that day. But there was something that grips hold of me when I remember that every time. That it always takes tragedy to turn people to God. It always takes tragedy to wake up the dying Christian from the pew that he's been sitting in for so many months, where he's gone cold and complacent. And then all of a sudden, what happens? We want to say, God, what's happening, God? Or have you taken your hand of blessing off of us? Yet we beg for the presence of God. We need the presence of God. My first point this morning I want you to see is the vision of failure. He says here in verse number 51, mine eye affecteth mine heart. Why? Because of all the daughters of my city. And back up, if you will, in this passage, numerous times he talks about how the daughter of his people, how the destruction of the city, how the temple laid waste. Many times through the scripture, Jeremiah began to illustrate. He's saying, hey, I'm beginning to hurt. I am personally feeling the agony. I am personally feeling the burden. Why? Because I see it all around me. I want to see Christians living in victory. I want to see people getting saved. I want to see lives being changed with the power of God. But it's not happening. And why? I believe it's because we've quit on God. We've got our church services. We do our Bible studies. You know, we read our 3-4 chapters a day. We do our little prayers. It's like we have gotten God in a little box, and as long as God will stay in that box, He'll be just fine, and so will we. But if we don't get God out of our boxes and start letting God be in control of our lives, if we don't let God lead us, all we're doing is giving a lost and dying world a lost and dying religion. We need to realize there's something here greater than you and I. There's something here greater than my opinions. There's something here greater than my personality. And there's something here greater than my pride. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the work He asks us to do. You see, here in Jeremiah, he's saying, hey, mine eye had begun to affect mine heart. And if we do not get the vision of the things that are going on in our homes, if we don't get the vision of the things that are going on in our classrooms, if we don't get the burden that each one of these instructors are trying to show us, hey, I believe every one of the professors here, if we could just get the burden, if we could get the vision and the reason they're here, hey, they wouldn't be nearly as concerned about the academics as they would about us getting out there and telling these people the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've gotten to the point where academics outweighs the presence and power of God. We've gotten to the point, I was talking with a gentleman, I called him, was talking about furthering my education, and he said, well, my program was centered around teaching. And I said, well, teaching's a wonderful ministry, if that's what the Lord's called you to do. But I felt all of a sudden, you know, well, God's called me to preach, not teach. I mean, that's the role of a pastor, not an evangelist. The evangelist is to preach the Word of God, and it's the pastor is to be a preacher-teacher. So I began to stop and say, well, you know, I don't think this is where God would be leading me, because I want to preach. And I just wonder if there's any students in here this morning that you've just got the burning fire in your soul to preach. Jeremiah said he had warned his people. He had warned the nation of Israel. He had done everything that God had asked him to do. But for some reason, there was utter failure. And I'm not going to take you back, but you can go through Jeremiah chapter number 6. You can go through Jeremiah chapter number 8. And you'll begin to realize that the failure was starting at the house of God. He said, hey, it is because of the priests and it is because of the prophets. He said, there was peace, peace when there is no peace. You see, they were giving false hope when there was no hope. Hey, Jesus Christ is the hope. It's not our church. It's His shed blood on the cross of Calvary. It is the new life that He puts in me. Hey, and hey, can they get it outside of our church walls? I mean, I have men come through the mission and they think the only place they can get saved at is in church. If we don't get a passion to get outside the walls of our churches, if we don't get a burden to get outside the walls of our communities, to reach these people outside of our own areas, who's going to reach them? Jeremiah had a vision. Jeremiah had a vision of failure. Jeremiah saw his personal responsibility in that failure. And I want us to see our personal responsibility in that failure. The second thing I want you to see this morning is the vision of the future. Down in this passage, if you'll jump down with me and back up with me to verse number 22, he said, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. All of a sudden, Jeremiah began to see his failure, but all of a sudden, he began to see the future when God was in it. He began to see what kind of difference God could make when God was on the scene. He began to see what kind of difference could be made when Jeremiah got out of the way and he let God have His way. Hey, if you want to find the right way for your life, Jeremiah 6 and verse 16, stand ye in the way and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk ye therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Hey, that way isn't the way of religion. That is the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Hey, if we want to find out where God needs us to be, we need to find out where God's at. We need to realize, hey, there's a future that is at stake. We need to realize that future involves me. That future involves every one of us in this room tonight, this morning, amen. We need to realize that if something doesn't begin to happen in my life, if I don't get that fire that Jeremiah had, if I don't get the visions that Jeremiah had, what's going to happen? I just ask one question this morning. If everybody had as big a burden for your neighbor next door as you did, would anybody ever be reached? Jeremiah began to see a nation falling apart. I see a country in which I live that once stood on Christian moralities and standards that's falling apart. The only way that can happen is for Christians to remain silent and do nothing. Because once you had the high ground, you have to quit to go to the low ground. You have got to yield, and you've got to say, hey, I'm okay right now. My four, no more. And we've lost our focus. and we've lost our compassion. All of a sudden, we begin to see the vision of failure. We see the vision of the future. All of a sudden, Jeremiah says, hey, sin has consumed the nation. Sin has begun to destroy the people. Hey, the daughters were lying in the street. He says, hey, destruction is running rampant. He says, all of a sudden, I can't live like this anymore. I'm not going to remain silent anymore. Jeremiah said, there is but one thing that I can do, and I can call upon my Lord, and He will hear my prayer. And all of a sudden, he starts praying to God. And all of a sudden, God started doing something. There's an awful mighty power in prayer. If you don't get a hold of the power of prayer, then you're losing touch with very God Himself. He gave us boldness that we could come into the throne room. We need to realize there is a future. And that America is being destroyed and is being consumed with sin, and we have got to bear some of the responsibilities for it. We have become too complacent. But not only do I want you to see how they were consumed by sin with the vision that he saw, but he saw a conquering compassion. He said in verse number 22, it is of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. I have to stand back and say, thank God. He saved an old dirty, wretched sinner like me. I sit back and I think, you know, I know the Bible says that Paul was the chiefest of sinners. And I have to agree with that because I believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God. But I say if I had the time to debate with the Apostle Paul, I believe I would win. But you see, we have not realized our sin. And how our sin begins to affect our neighbors. We have lost sight of what my personal responsibility is. You see, we should be holy and without blame. We should live lives above the moral high ground. We shouldn't set the standard where everybody else is at. We are Christians. We are saved by the grace of God. We say that He can deliver me from this present evil world. We say that He can give us the victory. Then why do we set our standards and our sights so low? There is a high ground, and we can attain it if we will yield our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, if we will crucify this flesh, if we will serve the Lord and Him only. But that requires sacrifice. I want you to see not only the vision of the future, the vision of the failure, but I want you to see this vision of mercy. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 34, it says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. That means that that mercy, Brother Bill, that was there in the day of Jeremiah, is that same mercy that's here today for you and I. That same mercy that Jeremiah saw was the only hope for his nation is the same hope that we have for America today. It is the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, I believe if we would yield our lives to Him, if we would fall on our faces in prayer, and we would beg for the forgiveness of God in our lives and for our communities, I believe God would start answering prayers. Let me rephrase that. I don't just believe it. I know it. I've seen God begin to move. I've seen God do things when nobody else could. And praise God, that's the only way I like to see it. Because if man can do it, man can take the praise for it, but if God can do it, you got to give Him the glory. And I believe He deserves all of it. We need to realize, hey, that Jeremiah had a vision of forgiveness. Jeremiah was in the dungeon. The Bible here, we just read this passage. They had cast a millstone over him. He was down in the dungeon. The Bible, actually, if you go back to the book of Jeremiah, he was lowered down into the lower parts of the dungeon. And the mire, it says, was almost to cover his head. That was the human refuse. That was where when they washed out the dungeon, everything washed down to that lowest point. That's where they had Jeremiah at. But Jeremiah still had compassion for those people. They hated Jeremiah. But Jeremiah still loved them. Hate me if you will, because they hated my Lord and Savior. So what do you think the world's going to do to you? But does that change his vision? Should that change your vision? Should that change your burden? It should increase your burden. It should enlarge your vision. You should begin to realize that God has got us all here for a major purpose. Not only do we see the vision of forgiveness, but I also want you to see that, you know, His mercy was an enduring mercy. That mercy that was available yesterday is that same mercy when I make a mistake today. That forgiveness that God gave to me yesterday, this is one of the greatest battles that I begin to see in Christians. They get right with God, they go out and they serve God, and they're just doing everything they can for God, and they've got the victory, really living in the power of God, and they make a mistake. And they sin. And they stumble. And all of a sudden they hang their head in shame. And they're unwilling to repent because they want to throw that self-pity party. Because they said, I should have been better than this. But if we'll read our Bibles every once in a while, we'll find there's many people that way. David, how many times did he sin? How many times did David make a mistake? Though a good man fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. You see, God is in the restoring business. God is in the forgiving business. God is in the business of giving out mercy. He said here in this passage, His compassions are new every morning. We can count on it. Why? Because God has laid it before us. And God has said, here, take and use it. And get forgiveness in your lives. So that we can go on for the Lord Jesus Christ. So that we can forget those failures and press towards the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Hey, so we can forget those things which are behind. Why? Because you can't change the past. But you can really make a difference in the future. But you'll never make a difference in the future unless you first forget the past. Forget those things that used to hold you down and destroy you. Realize Jeremiah had a vision for his people. The last thing I want you to see this morning is the vision of his father. Here in this passage, he says, join with me down in verse 55. He said, now, let's back up to verse 54. I have a problem with this. I mean, verse number 53. I mean, I always go backwards when I'm reading the Bible for some reason. They have cut off my life in the dungeon and cast a stone upon me. Waters flowed over mine head. Then I said, I am cut off. Jeremiah says, hey, there's no hope. It's worthless. I'm cut off. No good. But all of a sudden he says, but there's God. I called upon thy name, O Lord. Out of the low dungeon. He says, I was in the lowest part possible. Psalm 40 come to mind. All of a sudden, he was down in that pit. He was down in that mire. He was so far down. And he said, but God still heard me. But my Father was still attentive to my prayers. But my Father was ready to respond. But my Father was right there when I needed Him. He said in verse number 55, I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon. Thou hast heard my voice. Hide not thine ear at my breathing, at my cry. I begin to stop and think about that. How close do you have to be to somebody to hear their breathing? All of a sudden, Jeremiah's down in the lowest part of the dungeon. All he's down there where surely God wouldn't bring himself down this low. Surely God wouldn't begin to dirty himself with these things. He says, God, hide not your ear at my breathing. He said he was so close. To be so close to hear somebody breathe, you got to feel their breath on your face. God was that close when Jeremiah began to call on him. And this morning, if we want the power of God back in our lives, we must realize that God is sitting right here with us. He is ready and he is attentive, and he just wonders if we're willing to call on him. He's that father, just like the prodigal son. Oh, he said, I'll arise and go to my father's house. He said, I'll become as one of the hired servants. But you see, that's not the vision God has. You see, that was not the vision that the father had. He said, come on back, my son. You got dirty. Let me clean you up. You lost your ring. I got another ring for you. You lost your shoes. I got new shoes for you. He said, come on into my house and let's have a celebration. Because this, my son, which was lost, as is now is found. And for some reason it says they killed a fatted calf. Amen. And if you're a good Southerner, you thought they was fixing to have a big old barbecue, but I think that was for the sacrifice for the failures and sin. I think that was for the transgression in the way. I just, for some reason, want to see the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ right there. He paid my sin debt. He who knew no sin became sin for me, that I might become the righteousness of God in Him. You see, the only good that we can have is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we've got a Father who listens and wants to pay and be attentive to our prayers. He wants to respond and He wants to move. But He wants you to start moving too. He wants you to say, I'm tired of my formalism. He said, I want you to say, I'm tired of my religion. Because all I need is the power of God. That comes from the presence of God. You see, oftentimes we're satisfied with just the presence. But some time ago, God said, Keith, the Bible says where two or three are gathered together, I'll be in the midst. But Acts 1:8 says, but ye shall receive power. Not only can we know He's present, but we can know we got His power. And if we're going to do any work for God, it must be in the power of God. My question to you this morning is this. Have you lost your vision? Or is your vision still grabbing hold of your heart? Is your heart what it used to be? Is your heart still on fire for what God's called you to do? If your heart's not, then I wonder why. And I challenge you this morning, let's get that fire back. Let's get that vision back. Let's get our burden and compassion for our lost loved ones and neighbors. Amen. Let's get our burden back. Let's stand with heads bowed and eyes closed this morning.